Good morning once again, everybody. Good to see you this morning. I want to talk this morning about God. Spirit, the universe, our higher power, the infinite, the divine, whatever you choose to call it. And I invite you to stop thinking about what you're thinking about. And your perception, and be open to new possibilities, because being a minister is just the most amazing thing. Because I get the intuition that this is the theme for the week, or this is the theme for the month, and the book I'm using for the year is The 12 Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore. Okay, you've got a year's worth of talks in this little book. How are you going to do that? And the still small voice says, I got this. So Wednesday night in our book study class, we're finishing up Frederick Bale's book, Basic Principles of Science and Mind. Absolutely wonderful workbook. And he talks about in this chapter that had some specific treatments for some specific things. And I wasn't sure if we wanted to do this chapter or not, but I dove into it and it was just exactly what on point for what I needed this morning. This thing called God is the most amazing experience. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And I invite you to think about what you think about when we talk about our higher power. And again, whatever word you use to describe that. So my topic is thinking with the mind of God. Our first, and I will get copies of this, really is a wonderful little book by Charles Fillmore, The 12 Powers of Man. And I'll get copies of this. So if you would like a book to follow along with me throughout the year, I will have those for you. But our first power is faith. And if you were with me last week, you remember we did the White Stone Ritual when we listened for that inner guidance, that intuition as to what our new name would be. You might remember in the Bible it talks about when someone is released from prison or bondage or from some negative, unpleasant situation, they step into that newness and they were given a white stone on which to write their new name. If you weren't with me last week and would like a white stone, I have some extras and I'd be happy to give you one after the service, so please do see me for that. So we did that ritual last week and we decided on that new name for ourselves, maybe an attribute of spirit. And if you were with me for candlelighting, you remember light, life, love, peace, power, beauty, and joy. Or whatever word came to you, but that new name of joy or passion or just whatever it was, but that you choose to experience in 2015. If you remember in the Bible, there are several examples of people going through some experience and coming out and accepting a new name. Abram, which means exalted father, became Abraham, which means obedience and faith, after he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac at God's request. Now, whether Abram was a guy that took his son to the altar and was ready to kill him, and God said, no, wait a minute, never mind, or not, whether that actually happened and those were actual people, you get to decide. But the point is the new name and the new experience moving from that just being an earthly father into that experience of absolute faith and trusting. So he was willing to sacrifice what he had, presumably, in receiving his greater good in this case being the approval and blessing from the Old Testament God. Think about what we sacrifice. First of all, the word sacrifice sounds like, to me anyway, and we all have our perception of words, but sacrifice sounds like giving up something that you really liked so that you can get something that you want. but it doesn't sound like a happy experience. But we have to sacrifice our story of woe, our story of being put upon and resent and regret and blame and all the rest of that in order to forgive and step into that greater good. We got to sacrifice that. We got to stop telling that story. We have to sacrifice those old beliefs in separation and limitation and struggle so that we can step into that greater experience in thinking with the mind of God. So the point being, sacrifice often is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just how we look at it. Because sometimes I am so ready to sacrifice that old nonsense so that I can step into that greater whatever it is. Sacrifice always requires change. We human beings don't like to change. My great-grandfather used to say, I wouldn't like it if it was good. And I love the concept of that because I'm in my box and I might be comfortable in my discomfort, but if I have to do something different that requires me to think differently or act differently or look differently, and I'm not sure that I want to do that because I'm comfortable here stuck in my stuff. Are we comfortable stuck in our stuff? Or are we ready to sacrifice it so we can move forward? Sacrifice requires faith. And the first power we're talking about of the 12 powers this week and the rest of the month is faith. What do we have? What does that mean for us? And what do we have faith in? Now, the opposite of faith being fear. And I was digging through the Science of Mind textbook, and as you probably know, our teaching is based on the Bible as well as Ernest Holmes writing the Science of Mind textbook. Great big book, absolutely wonderful book that I don't open often enough. I don't know about you, but I need to spend more time in it because it just has amazing gems for us. And Ernest Holmes says the opposite of faith is fear. Fear is faith misplaced. Fear is faith misplaced. What do we believe when we do our prayer work, our affirmative prayer, our spiritual mind treatment? What do we believe? And we end it with, and so it is, which is the modern version of amen. So what do we believe after we release that? What's going to happen to those words? What's going to happen to that, whatever it is that we've accepted? Does it go out into the ethers and, yeah, we know we're one with God and all the rest of that, blah, 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 but what do we really have faith in? What do we really believe about that experience? That's what we're talking about this morning. The Science of Mind textbook says, the fear of lack is nothing more than the belief that God does not and will not supply us with whatever we need. So who are we talking to? Are we still talking to the Old Testament, hateful, surly, cranky, white, straight, judgmental, Santa Claus concept of God out there somewhere? Because if you came from traditional Christianity, or even if you've never set foot in a church, there is that, we call it the race consciousness. The belief about how things are that so many people have that sometimes we pick up. The belief in flu season. Last year, I just got whooped at flu season. I didn't have a belief in flu season. I absolutely did not have a belief in flu season. Where in the world did that come from? Don't know, but it was my experience. Sometimes that happens because we don't know what we believe. We don't always know what we've accepted or allowed to happen in our lives. Have you ever had one of those experiences that just, you've got this great big mess on your doorstep and you want to say, what? I didn't accept this. I didn't affirm this. How did this happen? We don't always know what we believe. And so sometimes we have those wonderful experiences for us to go through and heal. The fear of lack is nothing more than the belief that God does not and will not supply us with whatever we need. Who are we talking to? And once we do our prayer work, is there a struggle? Do we still have the belief in the little red guy with the pointy tail and the pitchfork? Do we still believe in the devil? Do we still believe in somehow there's something that's going to keep us from that good? Do we still believe that God's going to say, nope, you're up to your limit. You got to wait till the beginning of the next month? Or do we really have faith in and believe and know to the marrow of our bones that when we do our prayer work, life, God, Spirit, the universe always says yes? It's an interesting question. The textbook says, when we use our creative imagination in a strong faith, it will create for us out of the one substance whatever we have formed in thought. In this way, man becomes a co-creator with God. We call this the science of mind, or the law of mind. And science, as you know, is absolute. Laws work for everyone the same way, everywhere, all the time. I don't have to worry about not being able to stand here with my feet on the ground. I don't have to worry about the chairs moving around with you in them, because gravity does what it does. And it does what it does in San Diego and Albuquerque and Paris and communist Ubangi and everywhere. It works for everybody the same all the time. The law of mind, the science of mind, works for us always, works for everybody the same way all of the time. Do we really get that? Or are we still battling with something that's blocking this good for us? The law must work, the textbook says, the law must work in compliance with our demand. The divine urge within us is God's way of letting us know that we should push forward and take that which is awaiting our demand. Charles Fillmore, who wrote the book that we're using for the year and the founder of Unity, said, and you've probably heard me quote this before, the inexhaustible supply of spirit is equal to every demand. Not every request, not every beseeching, not every pleading, but every demand. Now, we don't go out in the parking lot and shake our hand at the sky and demand something. The demand is in our affirmative prayer, in accepting what we wish to experience, not asking for it. Jesus said, pray as though you have already received and you will receive. So that's why we do affirmative prayer, that it is already done for us as we say our words. It's not a beseeching or a pleading. Faith is built up from belief, acceptance, and trust. And my words, it's 2015 and many of us are at the gym to try and get back into shape. And you know that if you're doing bodybuilding or strength training or anything like that, you're using your muscles and you're using the repetition. And as you do that, the muscles get stronger. That's what happens when we do our affirmative prayer work. And in our first year class, we start with parking places. Easy to do. But it either works or it doesn't. So we start with parking places and we affirm when we're going to Costco at noon, just at feeding time, or on Saturday at noon, even better. And we pull into the parking lot and we affirm that there's more than enough for everyone and there's everything I need at the time I need it. And so I want a parking place in the first row. and I accept that as my truth, and so it is. And then we drive to the first row and we see it and we accept that parking place. What a strange coincidence. Not at all. There's no coincidence in this. We asked for that and we receive it. Call it your parking angel, call it whatever you want to call it, but that's how it works. And so we use that foundation because it works. It either works or it doesn't. Jerry and I have lived in our condo for almost 20 years, and we rented for the first many years. And it was an amazing experience because we never saw the landlord. He had an office in La Mesa, and so we dropped the rent check at his office in the mail slot the first of the month and didn't hear from him for like 3 or 4 years because we had no problems. He had no problems. It was absolutely wonderful. And so we always said, we love this place. And we always said, when you want to sell, we want to buy, so please let us know and we'll figure out the details. So we'd been on vacation in Colorado, had an amazing time. We had a Ford Explorer at the time, and we had stopped at the outlet malls in Elsinore. If you've ever been there, you know that that is a religious experience, and I know religious experiences. And so this Explorer is packed full of luggage and new china and just all sorts of wonderful things that we had found. I mean, there's the two of us, our friend Pat, and all this stuff that we had bought. And so the savings was down, the credit cards were up because we'd just been on vacation, and we come home and there's a message on the answering machine, and the message is from our landlord saying, "It's time." And our hearts went, "Ah! How are we going to do this? We got a lot of credit card debt. We don't have a lot of savings. How are we going to come up with the down for this? How are we going to make this work?" What happened was, throughout this experience of getting the mortgage, thankfully we had one another and were able to support one another, because every time one of us started to say, "What are we going to do if this doesn't work?" the other one would remind both of us, it either works or it doesn't. So we didn't go looking for boxes just in case. We had to move. And we got the mortgage and we bought the place, and we didn't use a real estate agent, and we didn't have to pack a single box. It was the best of the best experiences related to purchasing real estate. The point is, it either works or it doesn't. And it works in parking places. It works in those experiences that we couldn't have imagined. Too good to be true? Absolutely not. But we have to recognize that. The textbook says, "The truth we announce is superior to the condition we are to change." In other words, if we are speaking from the standpoint of the Spirit, then there can be no opposition to it. We state our intention and allow it to be so, and the only thing, and you've heard me say this before, and please know that every time I talk to you, I am talking to myself as well, the only thing we're changing, the only one we're talking into doing anything, is ourselves. We're just talking ourselves into changing our belief about whatever it is. Because, you'll notice on the front of your bulletin, and I love this quote from the textbook, "Because we fail to realize that principle is not bound by precedence, we limit our faith to that which has already been accomplished, and few miracles result. When through intuition, faith finds its proper place under divine law, there are no limitations, and what are called miraculous results follow." Divine law is that experience of stating our intention, releasing it, allowing it to be so, and absolutely knowing that God says, "Of course, of course," whatever it is. Jesus said, "It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And what we know is, in the first place, many religious traditions concentrate on God being the Father. And if you have anything with that, that's why we say God, Spirit, the universe, our higher power. Sometimes I say Father, Mother, God, however it is that works for you, recognizing this divine, loving, nurturing, all-giving experience. Sometimes we create God in man's image rather than the other way around. So if our relationship was with our earthly father wasn't all that it could be, sometimes we project that onto the infinite. But the truth is, they're very different, because our earthly father did the best he could with what he had to work with, but he was human and had all of his stuff to deal with. God has no stuff to deal with. There's no past, there's no ego, there's no nonsense. It's so important for us to recognize that. Principle is not bound by precedence. What happened last year, last month, last week, 45 minutes ago, has nothing to do with the experience that we can and will have in this moment, or this afternoon, or tomorrow. Just because it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to last time doesn't mean that it won't turn out exactly the way we wanted and better than we could have imagined this time. Principle is not bound by precedence. So who are we talking to? I have some books. Some is a great underestimation of the number of books I have. And if you've been in my office in here, you know I've got some books. And if you've ever been to my house, you know that we have books everywhere, and they tend to get out of control. And so I try to keep them housed in the one room, and they're wonderful. And I love every single one of them. And sometimes they just appear from places that I had no idea where they came from. It's okay. Ever been in a bookstore and one falls off the shelf into your arms? Or it's almost like it's yelling at you, waving? Well, I truly have no idea where this came from, but it's Ernest Holmes' Your Spiritual Power, a collection of inspirational writings. I think we're going to use this on Wednesday nights because it is amazing. More news to follow on that, but I want to share a quote from this book. As soon as I find the page, I'm sorry. Thinking about where is God? Where is this higher power? Is he still up on a cloud somewhere? Or do we really get, when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you, do we really get that? And Ernest Holmes says, there's a great difference whether or not you believe God to be within you or outside you. For if God is outside you, how are you going to reach this God who, not being some part of you, must be separated from you? How can you hope to unite things which are different from each other? But the God who is already within you, being forever perfect and complete, needs no reunion with anyone, and you need no reunion with this God, because this God already is in your every act, in every thought, in every movement, in your every plan, purpose, and performance. The God within you creates every circumstance and situation you have ever experienced. You have called these circumstances and situations things in themselves, but they never have been. They've always been the fruition of your thought, and your thought has always been dominated by your belief in God. That is, ever since you had a self-conscious life. He goes on to say, your thought is the action of this principle. The principle is perfect, complete, and limitless, but your thought circumscribes its actions and causes the very mind of freedom to create conditions which you call bondage. As you teach your intellect to believe in the free circulation of spirit through you, then your thought becomes a law of elimination to congestion. It purifies stagnation. Your consciousness of the divine presence within you, like light, dissipates the darkness. This is your eternal and true self at the center of your being. It is the mind of God manifesting in you as you. It is the mind of God manifesting in you as you. So if the kingdom of heaven is within us, as Jesus said, and there's no out there, that somebody said, we think with the mind of God. Now, that sounds blasphemous. Maybe. But we're not saying we did it. We remember Jesus said, it's the Father within that doeth the work. You know, if the gardener, if you go to Carolyn's house or Barbara's house and see the roses, the most amazing roses, and you compliment them, they will say thank you very much, and they are, or whatever flower you're looking at, they are spectacular, but they know that they were not the only ones involved in that experience. You plant the bush, you water it, you weed it, you feed it, you do what needs to be done, and that springs from the earth in this gorgeous plant. But it's the nutrition in the earth that creates it, along with the water and the weeding and all the rest of that. So we're always co-creating, we're not doing it ourselves, but we're allowing this loving, nurturing presence to create that for us. And there's nothing in between. There is nothing in between except our ability to accept. We think with the mind of God. That's all there is. If you've been in this teaching for a while, you remember that you've probably remember hearing that we are, well, let me start again. You remember that a drop of seawater differs from the ocean only in size. And that's true. You got a teaspoon of water from the ocean. It's got the same attributes as the ocean. You know, the salt and the chemical makeup and all the rest of that. So it is with us. We think with the mind of God. So when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and seek ye first the kingdom, and all those things will be added unto you, he's talking about this experience of the essence and expression of Spirit, of God. So the kingdom of God is not the sweet by and by. It's not getting enough money to pay the rent this month. The kingdom of God is this experience of allness and expression in every area of our lives. So think about when we pray, do we pray for, if I could just get enough money to, and you get to fill in the blank, or if I could just get healed from this, whatever it is. Or do we allow ourselves to kick it up three or four notches and accept the kingdom, which is it's the harmony. It's the experience of more than enough money, more than enough health, more than enough love, more than enough in every area of our lives. Because otherwise, we're just limiting to that piece. But if you have health challenges and have piles of $100 bills sitting on your dining room table, they're not going to really do you any good because you don't feel like getting out there and spending them and having a good time. If you have absolutely amazing, perfect, radiant health, but don't have two dimes to rub together, it's not going to do you any good because you can't get out and do what you want to do. In 2015, it requires money for us to go and do what we want to do and have fun and help the world. If you have money and health, but your relationships need work, you're not experiencing that harmony and that absolute joy because you might want to go to Hawaii and you've got money to pay cash for it, but there's nobody in your life that wants to go with you. So we want this allness of spirit. We want this harmony in every area. So when we do our affirmative prayer, we ask for and accept and receive spirit in everything in our lives, because spirit is in everything in our lives, because that's all there is this experience of spirit. The foundation of our teaching, and I love to be with you, obviously, but I love to go to traditional Christian churches and give them just an absolute dousing of New Thought principles, and they don't even know it. But those amazingly wonderful prosperity promises in Matthew, if you take the Bible literally and are reading those, Jesus said, it's done unto you as you believe. That's the foundation of what we talk about every Sunday, is our belief determines our experience. You remember faith, the size of a grain of mustard. And I just love this. And you remember the passage, you will say to a mountain, throw yourself into the sea, and it will go and do that. It's our faith that determines our experience. And it's so great. I'm at this church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I got to go to the Lifeway Christian bookstore and buy a Bible because I forgot to bring my Bible with me. And so I'm standing there with my Bible, and open your Bible, and because at least half the crowd brought their Bible with them. And so open your Bible, and in Matthew, read this, and they're saying, wow, it really says that. Wow, it does. It's done unto you as you believe. What do we believe? What do we have faith in? There is nothing between us and God. There is nothing between us and expressing and experiencing all these wonderful things, and all these wonderful things that are the attributes of the kingdom, except our belief about it. And as we see that, as we let go of the devil and Satan and all the rest of that belief in separation, we see that there's no out there out there. I am the infinite, and one of the books I was reading says, and I love this quote, I am the infinite bounded by form. I am the infinite bounded by form. We're not saying we are God. We are saying we are the essence, expression, and an experience of God. It's not blasphemy. It's blasphemy when we say, I am too old, too tired, too sick, too poor, too whatever. To me, that's blasphemy, because we're saying that's what God is. What's God? God is the moment, the pure potentiality that Deepak Chopra talks about. In this moment, the potential for the most amazing experience. It's the energy of yes. It's the energy of possibility. That's what God is. That's what we're using. That's who we are in form. So how will our lives look different when we really get that we are the infinite in form? With that in mind, join me in the light for just a minute. So in the peace and the quiet of this moment, we allow ourselves to be reminded of this oneness with the God presence with one another and with all of life. And we give great thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning. And we accept, because that's all it requires is our accepting. We accept this experience of being the infinite in form. And in this acceptance, we move forward with this consciousness. I'm the infinite in form, and so there is harmony